From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. California state senators picked a new leader. Democratic Senator Monique Limon of Santa Barbara will take the helm as Senate President pro tempore starting next year, taking over for current Senate Pro Tem Mike McGuire of Santa Rosa. The role comes with responsibility, of course, as the Senate's key representative in legislative negotiations between the state assembly and the governor. Cap Radio political reporter and State House reporter Laura Fitzgerald sat down with Limon last week to talk about her new role.
So first of all, what led you to seek out this leadership position, and what specifically about your Capitol experience, legislative experience, do you think has really prepared you to take it on?
So I've been in our Capitol, part of our Capitol community, as a legislator for the last 8.5 years. And so through the last 8.5 years, I've worked on a number of issues, policy issues and fiscal issues, both while I was in the Assembly and the Senate. Certainly have worked on issues of wildfire, childcare, pay equity, consumer protections, and health, education, you name it, more and more and more. And one of the things that, you know, happens as you're thinking about your own role in the legislature is that you look at the opportunities to be involved in policy committees and discussions in bigger issues that sometimes don't funnel the work just through necessarily a committee per se, a committee appointment. And some of those things include working on issues like the climate package and most recently the climate bond. Those are all experiences where you have a diverse group of colleagues that you are working with, and your objective is to try to deliver and work for on behalf of California and find what those meeting points are and what those points where you can bring 58, you know, the views of 58 counties and almost 40 million people in the state into a compromise, right, into a position of agreement that this is where we can be. And I say that to you because when people think about the future role that I will play in the California State Senate, it's important to recognize that this is significantly more than just a title. This is about a number of experiences that have led to colleagues putting their trust and support in me to be the person who succeeds our current pro tem, Senator Mike McGuire. And I think he's done an excellent job of bringing people together, of getting things across the finish line, of being able to work with the governor and, of course, the assembly as well. And while I had an interest, it was also ultimately the decision of the caucus in terms of moving forward. And that decision, I believe, came from their experience, their relationship with me as a legislator, and knowing that I've served in different capacities and different roles. And they see a little something more in each of those roles of who I am and how I do the work that's needed here.
You bring up a really good point about the role not just being a title, but a big part of this role is being part of what they call the big three, right? The governor, the Senate pro tem, and the assembly speaker. And a lot of that requires really tough negotiations. How do you plan on navigating those discussions when you step into the role next year?
Look, I think certainly one of the things about this process is that I get to continue to work with our current pro tem, Mike McGuire, and I get to work with him and make sure that starting day one, we're ready, set, go, that there's a smooth transition, but also that there continues to be a connection. I feel like that's an important piece to this. I would also say that through my own legislative work in terms of policies, but also some of the work that I've done for the good of the caucus, right, let's move the caucus forward, puts you in these negotiation moments. And you get that experience. So I think that you build upon that experience and you also create a team that works with you to kind of make sure that all of the pieces are falling into place to be able to go into very difficult negotiations. The world is more difficult today than it was a week ago. I think that what is happening in Los Angeles is an example of that, what we know will spread to the rest of the state. I think watching, of course, our leaders very actively and, of course, focused and committed to helping Californians with what's happening in this moment, with the fear that people are living under, but also knowing that we are still working on the recovery of Los Angeles, that we're still thinking of all of the other communities that, we're recognizing that there are many issues that need the help, the focus, and the support. So I feel prepared and ready for those moments, but also know that those moments will be done with even more preparation and with folks that I'll be working with.
This role being the president pro tem of the Senate that you're going to be stepping into, it's really an agenda setting role when it comes to policy. What are some of your biggest priorities?
Look, I think the number one priority for our state right now is the budget. That's the number one priority. And the budget touches every policy area. And that will be a very big issue next year as well. And I think that it's not just an issue for me. And this is the other piece that's important, that the agenda that you've described that, you know, is set by the leaders of a house is an agenda that's reflective of a collective, not of the self, right? And that's important too, that it's, you know, that the Senate worked together to build that agenda and that focus. But I do believe that even with that, the budget is going to be the issue that continues to press us and how we move forward. I think we are a state that has known that we're ready to go with many issues, those that are planned for and those that are unplanned for. What's happening, again, in Los Angeles right now are, you know, the raids that are happening, I think, are those things that we knew could be coming. And now that they're here, there's a coalescing around how to keep our community safe. There's a lot of conversations about this. And also there's a lot of work being done to be able to keep our community safe.
Yeah, and maybe now is a good time to talk about what's happening in Los Angeles. You know, this news broke over the weekend when there was obviously a lot going on, like you alluded to, the federal immigration raids, large-scale protests in the Los Angeles region. What do you make of everything that's going on there? And also, what's been your take on the state's response so far?
Look, I have to say that I feel I'm the daughter of immigrant parents. And when I see what has happened, it hits, I think, in a very personal way. When I'm watching what's happening in Los Angeles, I have family in Los Angeles who's describing what they're going through. And it's very, very difficult. So I think it hits, first of all, in a very personal way. You know, I had one of my colleagues moments ago tell me that someone in their district was driving their daughter to school and they were arrested, you know, earlier this morning. And so these are things that are creating fear. These are things that are of absolute concern and worry. And when I look at what the state is doing, I do feel that the state is doing everything we can and are going to continue to do more. I look at the role that our governor has played. I look at the role that our own pro tem in the Senate has played, who has been offering our caucus members information after information. We've already had multiple caucus Zooms about this, you know, addressing aspects of the situation. We're working, of course, with Attorney General Rob Bond. The flow of information is happening, and that information is turning out the results of being able to then deliver to our communities so that our communities know how to keep safe. But what is happening in Los Angeles and in the state of California right now, and also spreading across the country, we're not the only state, is something of, you know, great concern to an extent that we have not lived.
Going back to what's happening here in the state capitol a little bit, I want to ask about two policy areas, specifically housing. First of all, it's been noted that you stayed off certain bills to boost housing supply when it comes to CEQA exemptions for housing development or more housing development near transit stations, that sort of thing. How do you view housing in terms of an issue that the state's grappling with? And what do you say about critics that may not like that take on the housing situation when it comes to your voting record?
So look, I think it's really, I served on the housing committee in the assembly for 4 years, and I have voted in favor of hundreds and hundreds of housing bills in our state while I served in the assembly and also in the Senate that support the advancement of creating more housing. We need more housing in California, period. And I think it's also important to recognize that any one group can look at one vote, two votes, three votes, however many votes they'd like, to, you know, make determinations that, again, are not reflective of the collective. And I think that it's really important. I know we need housing. I want more housing. I see that. I think some of the nuance that folks are talking about probably is reflective to the fact that, you know, there are 58 counties over 480 cities. And so how we do that work is reflected in how we come together to create the packages of bills. I am someone who does believe that as we think, you know, about how we move forward, we should include different lens. And the policy lens that we should include are, of course, how do we do it faster? How do we do it more efficient? How do we have the right labor standards? And also, how do we think about the impacts to the community? When we had the Thomas Fire in 2017, our community didn't, you know, was blocked off. The 101 was closed for 13 days. And so I think a lot about the fact that we have sea level rise and, you know, many issues, right, that our transportation system is also different in our communities. And I think that that's just reflective. I don't think folks should worry. I think folks should really look at my collective record on what we've done on housing that I feel good about.
You also chaired both of the banking committees in both houses. You know, you've been a champion of a lot of different environmental regulation, especially when it comes to more restrictions on the oil refining industry. Are those things that you want to continue seeing through once you step into this leadership role?
I think the priorities that I have historically had in turn, and, you know, and I think everybody could see my votes and the work that I've done and what I've championed are always going to be priorities that are driven from a value based, right? Like what I think is important. I think the role is to really create a collective caucus agenda. And I think that that's what we will do. I don't think that my positions personally will change. But this is also recognizing that you're moving from just representing one single district to really looking at the collective needs of our state of California. And I'm very proud of the record that I have, that I've had, you know, for the last 8.5 years. In many of these issues, you've brought up environment and housing, in consumer protections and natural disasters and energy. We have been able to do work by bringing a lot of folks to the table. And that's something that I think matters. It's something that drives the way that we do this work and how we get things across the finish line.
You will be the first woman of color to become the president pro tem of the Senate. What significance does that first hold for you personally?
It's significant. I think when I think back to more than just being a person of color, I think I now am able to represent the area that I grew up in, an area that invested in my own, you know, personal success. I was an ESL student. I was the first in my family to go to college. I went to public schools, both K through 12 and to our universities. I was a union member. I am, you know, someone who comes from a big extended family. And I think back to what I bring and what's special is that this is a first in a lot of different fronts. And I will also be the first mother to serve in this role. And I think that it's not lost on me how long it's taken to see that representation for our state. It's also not lost on me that many people who have held this role have slowly created, you know, the way and the pathway for this change to happen. At the end of the day, I look at where my colleagues fell and the support that I had for my colleagues and think that their support wasn't limited to thinking of the identity that I was, but more the value, the skills, the relationships, the work, and the vision they saw in how we can move forward.
You were elected in 2016 for the first time to the state assembly, same election when President Donald Trump ascended to the White House for the first time. And so you were a lawmaker during Trump's first term. And I'm wondering, what about that moment feels the same as where we are now? What about it feels different?
It feels very different. The 2016 to 2020 period feels very different than this period. I think that what we are seeing now is significantly more concerning. I believe that our starting point, no matter who the leader is at the national level, our starting point is a starting point of wanting to work well together, wanting to find alignment for the good of the people that we represent, for Californians. And what I see now is really difficult. I had the Thomas fire in the district that I represented, and we were not. There was no federal aid that was conditioned on anything else. Federal aid was given to our communities during the most destructive wildfire. For 6 months, it was California's worst wildfire, biggest wildfire. And then there was a big, you know, another fire 6 months later that took that role. But I think that those are the, you know, examples of some of the differences that I see. I mean, as we speak, we're watching what's happening in Los Angeles. We're watching communities being torn apart. We saw a lot in the first 4 years that was really difficult. I also know that there's two things that happened. Not only did we come together here in the state as leaders, we stuck together. As leaders. And those two things, I think, are things that are continuing to happen. We were able to get through those first 4 years, and I think that we are going to do that again this time, but it is significantly more impactful. It is significantly more serious. I think that what is happening is at another level that I did not see, and so there is great concern. There's great concern about the ways that they are limiting funding and resources and support, the ways that they're intervening in government, to create moments that are pretty difficult for our community, that are devastating our community as we speak.
Senator Limón, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
That was Democratic State Senator Monique Limón talking with Cap Radio Politics reporter Laura Fitzgerald last week. Limón was elected as the next president pro tem of the California State Senate after current pro tem Mike McGuire terms out next year. Up next, a theater festival in Sacramento is highlighting the talents of all abilities. We'll learn about the All In Festival. It's happening later this month. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.